Ryan peered around the sheet tin outer wall of a roadside shanty. The first of the series of concrete berms designed to keep insiders in the ville and outsiders out lay across the dirt track ahead. It was 4 feet high and triangular in shape, with the widest and heaviest part flat on the ground, which made it virtually impossible for even the biggest wag to ram it aside. The configuration of berms formed an offset pattern, like a herringbone tweed, so incoming or exiting wags had to make a series of hard alternating turns to get around them. All vehicular traffic slowed to a crawl and was forced to move broadside to the Sekhmen's massed weapons. Ryan's biggest concern was the safety of the wags they'd stolen. Any hope the crew had depended on them. Even if he and his people managed to get past the barricade's defenders and out the ville's gate, if the wags didn't make it all in one piece, too, they were never going to catch up with the convoy and traitor. And worse, being then stranded on foot, it would just be a matter of time before the Baron's Sekhmen chased them down in off-road wags and ran them out of ammunition. At Ryan's side, Poet was thinking the same thing.
Gotta leave the wags well back. Can't risk getting them all shot up. Try and take the barricades on foot.
Ryan looked behind them, where around a bend in the road and hidden from view of the berms, the three captured wags sat.
Poet, better collect the crew and have them move up with me. Leave three behind to drive the wags.
Ryan knew that Poet would assign the driving jobs to crew members he knew were steady. The same ones Ryan would have picked. As Poet hurried off, without hesitation or complaint, as if he were the lieutenant and Ryan the captain, the one-eyed man felt no rush of satisfaction, which surprised him a little when he realized what had just happened. The balance of authority between them had subtly shifted, without his even noticing it. The ground rules of their relationship had changed. Competition had given way to cooperation, at least for the time being. A function of their desperate straits, perhaps, and perhaps because of the absence of traitor. Perhaps even because of a new mutual respect. Ryan craned his head around the wall once more. He scanned the top of the barricade and what little of the bunkhouse he could see. There was no sign of movement anywhere, which he took to mean that the Sekhmen were already all in position, forewarned by the clatter of gunfire from the heart of the ville. Their object was clear: to keep the would-be escapees pinned inside the ville long enough for the rest of the Sekhmen to arrive in force at the rear. Then it would just be a matter of mop-up, single bullets behind the ears of those still breathing. Ryan had left the Remington back in the wag. He figured it would be nothing but a hindrance in the coming fight. It was too long, too slow to come on point, and too slow to reload. He thumped open the Ruger's loading gate, making sure that every chamber was loaded with an unfired cartridge. He had no idea how many of the opposition were hiding in among the berms, but based on the Sekhmen he had seen on the way into the ville and the size of the bunkhouse, it figured to be an even fight.
We're all good.
Good. Those of you that are unarmed, stay behind and pick up blasters from the dead Sekhmen. Then you can move ahead. Poe, we can't wait until we reach the gate to start moving the wags forward.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. So I told the drivers to head into the barricades as soon as we gain some ground. That way, we can defend the wags using the berms for cover if more Sekhmen come at us from behind.
Good idea. We go at them straight on until I give the signal. Then we split wide, right and left. The idea is to flank them, make them bunch up in the middle of the barriers. When you've cleared out an area, wave the wags forward. We've got to move fast. This can't turn into a pitched battle, or we're all going to get chilled. It's got to be hit and get. Okay.
Go!
Ryan and the others sprinted into the center of the road, running right into the muzzles of the guns along the berm. Slugs zipped past Ryan's body and struck the ground on either side of him. He didn't think about them, not how close or how far away they landed. All he thought about was getting to the breakoff point as quickly as he could. When he was close enough to see the faces of the men shooting at him, he cut right, his long legs pumping. One of the Sekhmen abruptly rose from behind the concrete cover, thinking he had a clear shot at the dark-haired escapee in front. The first shots fired by Ryan's crew sent the Sekhmen toppling over backward. For a few seconds, all firing stopped as the Baron Sekhmen took in the sight of one of their own, suddenly dead. As the crew members following Ryan peeled off, left and right, Poet and Abe knelt in the middle of the road. With the covering fire, Ryan had no problems reaching the far end of the first berm. Three Sekhmen were crouching, spread out to his left along the inside of the wall. They never even got off a shot. Ryan kept going, vaulting over the next berm. Bullets blistered at him, sparking up the top of the barrier, clipping free chips of concrete. Shielding his good eye with his hand, he dropped down to cover. So far, the SEC men were either dying or pulling back. As anticipated, they were playing the stall game. To Ryan, it looked like there were another four or five of the staggered walls between him and the gate. Good. The legs are creeping up. Turning, he motioned for the crew members spread out behind him to stay where they were and wait for him to make his move. He then led along the front of the wall toward the opening that allowed traffic to pass. Ryan rounded the corner with the Blackhawk up and blazing in his fist. Those who survived closed ranks and tried to return fire, but Ryan was already across the open roadway to the safety of the berm on the other side. Straight ahead of him, he could see Poet and Abe hurtling over the barrier, and when he looked back the way he had come, he could see the rest of the crew jumping the berm there as well. Just as he planned, the frontal assault had allowed the crew to get into killing position on the flanks of the main SecMan force. As he ran down the narrow traffic lane, Ryan scooped up one of the dead SecMan's weapons. It was a KG-99 auto rifle that had been converted to select fire. He advanced along the ends of the openings in the berms, stolen machine pistol in hand. The remaining SecMan were in full retreat now, no longer even attempting to put up a fight. At the edge of the last berm, Ryan stopped and again took cover. Beyond it, the surviving SecMan had their backs up against the mesh of the wire gate. One of them was fumbling with the gate's bolt, trying to get it open.
Put the blasters down! If you lay them down, you can walk away! Enough! Hold your fire!
I'm gonna see if there's anybody hiding.
Well, anybody left?
No. That wasn't a firefight, it was an execution. I'm opening the gate now. The captured WAGs rounded the final barrier and drove through the now opened gate. Poet caught up with Ryan near the five SecMen. They weren't only dead, they'd also been torn to shreds.
Why do you think they fired at us? You gave them a way out.
Who knows? Maybe blind panic. Maybe they were used to dealing with people who don't keep their word. It doesn't matter either way. The important thing is, we've got a convoy to catch.